And now Reverend Elizabeth Price has a message for us.
Good morning, everyone. I grew up with a book on the piano, a book of old-fashioned Christmas songs and stories. And it had a beautiful Dickinsonian picture on it, and it was red and had holly and, you know, Christmassy. But in this book, there was one story that stood out to me, and it has stayed with me my whole life. And it's the story of the little match girl. Is anyone familiar with her? What in the world was that story doing in that book? It's horrible. Okay, just saying. But it stayed with me. Hans Christian Andersen wrote it. He wrote prolific amount of stories, fairy tales that have just gotten into our psyche in the Western world. Stories like Little Mermaid and the Emperor's New Clothes and The Ugly Duckling and The Little Match Girl. So these are all, they're just in our psyches. We grew up with them. He wrote in the 1800s. He is Danish. So I'm going to tell you the story of The Little Match Girl. And then we're going to try to figure out what meaning it might have for us today. So she's little, very little, too little. And she is wearing her mother's clothes, which are too big, way too big. And her mother's shoes, which are like boats on her feet. And her father has tasked her to go into the town with her bundle of matches, sell them, and buy crusts of bread for their New Year's feast. They live on the outskirts of town in a lean-to. It is very cold there. And so she goes into the town, but it is very late in the day, dressed like this. And a carriage comes by, very reckless, chaotic, and knocks her down, and she loses her shoes. It is cold and getting colder as night is falling. She has not sold one match. Fearful of going home without the food, for her father beats her when she doesn't come home with the food. She sits down in a spot in the town with her matches, and she's oh so cold. Desperately, she lights a match. Miraculously, the wall of the building sort of melts away, and there's this beautiful hearth with a stove that is lit and warm, and she can feel its warmth, and it's oh so wonderful. But the match goes out. She lights another match. A festive Christmas dinner this time on a beautiful table with a goose and all the trimmings, and the goose steps up and waddles toward her, even with the fork and the knife in its chest. And the match goes out. Well, she lights another match. This time, a beautiful Christmas tree with candles all over it, beautifully lit. And she looks up, and it seems to go up forever into the stars. And a star falls. She remembers her mother saying, when a star is falling, a soul is dying. Oh, she thinks, Poor soul. She lights another match. And that same beautiful tree, but this time her deceased beloved grandmother reaches down toward her, her grandmother, the only person who ever really loved her. Oh, grandmother, stay with me. But the match goes out. This time, she has to light more and more. She wants to be with her grandmother forever. The warmth of her grandmother's arms feels so good. So she lights match after match until she's lit them all. And her grandmother so sweetly gathers her up in her arms and takes her with her into that beautiful heaven, away from all the cold, away from all the suffering. That next morning, New Year's Day, the townspeople come out to celebrate the new year, only to find this precious little child with the sweetest expression on her face, frozen. And there she died. So this story has been kind of with me my whole life, and I wanted to know, what does it mean? Why would it be included in this book? Found in the 90s when I was in seminary, a wonderful book, you all might remember it, by Clarissa Pinkola Estes, Women Who Run with the Wolves. I see a nod. And this story is in that book. And I had fallen in love with Carl Jung and the archetypes and the ways that we are so connected in our unconscious and ways to be conscious about our connections. But these archetypes live within all of us. So I'm going to talk about the little match girl as this child, because we have this child. Men, women, boys, girls, we have this child inside of us. This lonely, starving, cold child that needs our attention. And sometimes the child gets it. Sometimes I give my child that needs that kind of love and attention, warmth. I sometimes take very good care of that child. And sometimes I don't. And that's life. And so it's a constant journey of learning how to care for our littleness, to care for our poverty. We have poverty of spirit. We have poverty of mind, small thinking. We have poverty of emotions sometimes. We have poverty, sometimes physical money poverty. And then we have people all around us who have suffering in some sort of way. So this child lives within. This child is like Tiny Tim in the Christmas Carol. And this child is like the delightful children gathered around Christmas trees singing songs. This child lives in us. This little match girl lives in an environment with people who do not care about her, do not want her. This child is in a place where what she has, these little sparks of warmth, are her creativity. Look at her imagination. But she's using them up. She's not able to leap into action with her beautiful fantasies. Her creativity is not valued or wanted. She's too afraid. And I'm speaking now to the adult in us. She's too afraid to grow out of this little place, this fearful, tiny little place where she's poor. Her parents do not nurture her creativity, do not provide warmth, and this is the thing she needs more than anything, warmth. Warmth. Warmth of heart, physical warmth. Her parents are abusive. They're denying her warmth of all sorts. This child is in a situation where there are few options, and so this child gives up on the possibility of ever thriving, can't imagine a different life. By lighting her matches, she burns up her creative spirit. There's no fuel for making them become real. There's no kindling to ignite her passions, no coal to put around the match and the kindling to ignite her passion, her creativity, her warmth. No flow of blood to her little body, to the extremities of her wonder. No flow to get up and out of the cold. As adults, that little child doesn't need parents to provide all this. It's our own task now to mature through the stages of development to become our own parent, to develop the inner crone or grandmother, the royal king or queen, the warrior in us. Clarissa Pinkola calls it the wild child. We need to be wild. We need the grandmother not to gather us up and take us to a fantasy heaven, but to say, get up, wake up, find your warmth. To do this, the little child must face inner wildness, anger, outrage, animal instincts to survive and to love and to be loved. Let that anger fuel a leap into action. If no one buys what you're selling, get out of that town. Get out of that job, that relationship. Scary, hard to do. Lot of grief. And many of us don't want to face that sort of grief. Find your pack. Find your people. Your passion. Your place in life that feeds your soul. The stove, it is the hearth or the heart of the home. And that is where the soul is and keeps you warm. Instead, she abandoned herself. She sits there frozen in dreamy fantasies like addictions, shortcuts to riches like robbery. Pinkola Estes calls these lethal fantasies. Warmth should be the major pursuit. Instead, she tries to sell off her sources of warmth. She doesn't search for kindling. She doesn't nurture the creative spark. And her soul is not singing. The people in this child's life are cold, and in turn, she grows into a cold person. Colder and colder, more judgmental, no richer, no wiser, and no further development. Cold people are traumatized people who continue to traumatize themselves and others at times. They're unaware of the softer, warmer emotions and the feelings of others. They lack heart, the stove that keeps our bodies warm. The true self is full of warmth, empathy, and self-awareness. Warmth is the healer of the soul. Heart and hearth create flow and energy and creativity. To get close to that hearth is to be cozy. To be cozy is to feel love, to feel warmth, to have that cup of tea and be with people you love, people who love you, and have those wonderful conversations. So the Danish word for cozy is hygge. Yes, which describes that feeling of contentment, of comfort, and well-being through simple pleasures. We need hygge. And I find it here, honestly. I love coming here. It's a warm hug waiting for me. And I'm really ready to give you a warm hug. So hygge lives here. It is like a cup of tea, candles, soft blankets, warm drinks. Cozy is sort of the closest English word for it, but it's broader than that. It's the concept of enjoying life's simple moments. And it comes from one of the coldest places in the world. And they are experts at hygge. So it's a holistic approach to well-being. Capturing that perfect moment of being truly comfortable and happy. A frozen person without heart is stuck in these lethal fantasies instead. What if things were different? What if they change? Someday I'll, if only, they will change. If I could be different, they would be different. If I could find someone else. As soon as I can do this, I'm sure life will be a lot better. All of these things keep that child frozen. The little match girl had an internal grandmother who takes her away into this fantasy heaven. Where is the wise one who helps with integrating wildness with the strength of being soft, warm, and welcoming, of being vulnerable? This child remains frozen as a poor little self, but we have an opportunity to nurture that internal grandmother, to nurture that wise one within. The Jungians urge us to look at all the archetypes in this story and in our own stories. Do the real work of maturing, facing inner wildness, taking a chance, integrating anger as fuel for right action, and not stay frozen. To create hygge in our homes, in our hearts, and in this place. Warmth is the antidote for being frozen. May we all stay warm, especially as the cold weather comes in.
We do have time for some discussion. Does anyone have any questions or thoughts on today's topic that they'd like to share?
I think we get primarily Coogan, is that the right word?
Coogan.
I think we get it primarily from having caring people around us, and you spoke to it about the way you feel about being here. This is a primary source for me, and I have the good fortune to have wonderful family that also brings it to me. But so we're back to community.
I have to make it for myself, too. So I have my spa room that's now, like, it's full of hygge. It's my safe place.
I love that you call out the dichotomy of hygge against these insanely dark cautionary tales. I mean, we see the Disney versions of Anderson's work, but the originals are absolutely cautionary tales, right? Just so stories on what to avoid and how to live a better, more connected life. And I also grew up with extremely abusive parents, and stories like this were my escapism. And I'm really grateful that I found better ways to rewire and rewrite my experiences. I can appreciate that when things are exceptionally heavy, that the escapism of something like freezing to death or taking your own life or just running away can seem like the answer. But I think it is that connection. We can create hygge and warmth for ourselves in our own little bubbles, but isn't it easier when we have others to do it with us too?
And that leads me to, I kind of look at, I've got all those characters within me, and the people surely saw her trying to sell her matches, did not respond. I drive by people wanting, needing things. I am like that. It's very convicting to live with a story like this, to have to wonder what to do. But yes, community, and how in the world do we ever address the magnitude of the needs around us? It can be overwhelming.
I'd like to respond to Sarah and say I absolutely loved the Little Match Girl, the mid-70s version of it. I absolutely loved it, and it was exactly like what you said. It was like, wow, all of this is gonna end, and it's something good's gonna be there, something nice and cozy. I don't think I thought of that in those words then, but that feeling was there. I think you were next.
I thought I knew the story. I must have remembered the whitewashed story or whatever. But it reminds me of schema therapy, where people, when you're little, you use adaptive mechanisms. Parents are abusive, and so your choices are to, especially for little girls, run away into fantasy land, not knowing, since she's a little child, that she could ask for help or, you know, what are her resources, right? But then if we continue on with that into adulthood, it becomes maladaptive, right? And so, like what Sarah was saying, you have to grow up and know that you're not stuck, you're not frozen. There are ways out, and hopefully you go to therapy. everybody should go to therapy.
Amen.
But yeah, you learn and you gain insight and you grow. And so hopefully you're not using those maladaptive behaviors. And you mentioned addiction, and that's a great example.
Yeah. It serves the child well in childhood to have a fantasy life. But when you're an adult, I'm an adult, and need to have more grounded reality, then yeah, it's maladaptive.
Anybody else?
It just sparked for me just now. There's a difference, I mean, I know this, but there's a difference between surviving, which is what those behaviors allow you to do, and then there's thriving. And I would much prefer to move out of survival mode, even though that is sometimes all you get, into wherever possible the thriving space. We look better with flowers on our heads anyway.
I've been captured by the wild child in this story, and that she was not a wild child, but it's trusting intuition, trusting instincts, and Jungians are all about women trusting instincts and intuition, and men trusting instincts and going out into those rituals for rites of passage, and we just don't have very many in Western culture. And I would love to find ways to create some rites of passage rituals. Many cultures do it well, and ours just doesn't.
Anybody else? Thank you. Now it's time for joys and concerns. We invite members and friends to come forward and share your joys and/or your concerns with our community. If you have something to share, please come forward.